Hey, I'm Gary from Hoops and Cards, and you're listening to the NoOffSeason.com Sports Card Content Network. Be sure to subscribe to all of our podcasts, including Sports Card Strategy, Football Card Quest, and my show, Hoops and Cards. We're helping you make money to fund your PC and enjoy the hobby, because there is no off-season.
What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffSeason.com. You are consuming the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Graybo's breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount from Graybo's on Drip, Whatnot, or their website at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. You can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget to go premium at nooffseason.com. Get your free 30-day trial today to help you build your sports card investment portfolio. We have just launched Sports Card School at nooffseason.com. Check it out at sportscardschool.com. All of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show is from Market Movers. Get a free 14-day trial followed by 20% off for life by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON at marketmoversapp.com today. All right, you're about to enter a Wednesday deep dive with Kendall the Lefty McKee and Connor Barnett, head of content at nooffseason.com. Lefty and Connor, take it away.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show Deep Dives. I'm back with Lefty McKee. Lefty, how are we doing this morning, sir?
Yo, how we doing, fellas and female fellas? We are having a good morning here. Connor and I are waking up. We were both like, dude, we need a shot of espresso. So I'm going to give you everything I got for a little over an hour, and then we are going to probably go take a nap or something.
Yeah, we're going to bring the energy, that's for sure. We got a lot of good stuff going through portfolio building, path to profit, guys to invest / fade, our 1K budget builder, winner of the week, and audience Q&A. So as you have questions throughout the show, make sure to drop them in the comments, and we will hop over to them at the end of the show. Lefty, I love doing these with you, man. So let's go ahead and hop right into them. But before we do, I'm going to do a little bit of live chat. Love, good morning, Randy Ferguson. Good morning, Shane Graham. And good morning, Adrian Charlie. Happy to have you guys in here. Lefty, last week we did a long breakdown of portfolio building where we kind of discussed Flyers, Heroes, and Goats and how to allocate your portfolio in an efficient way to comprise of those three options. If you weren't able to listen to last week's show, we highly recommend going to check that out. Like I said, we did a pretty in-depth breakdown there. So we're not going to go crazy in-depth this week just because Lefty's portfolio hasn't changed a ton. But what I am going to do is I'm going to give a brief rundown of those Flyers, Heroes, and Goats and what those categories are for us when we're making our investments. Starting off with Flyers, those are the riskiest with the highest upside. Not necessarily the cheapest, but often they kind of go hand in hand. We got our heroes, aka the stars, well-known names that have hype and quicker flip opportunities. And then we have our goats, the safer picks, higher buy-ins, need more upfront capital, but they can bring some good returns. However, often they are longer plays there. So Lefty, let's go ahead and talk about what direction you're trying to go in with your portfolio and why.
Yeah, I'm trying to go towards a less risky portfolio building. I think when I first got into the hobby, when I first got re-entry into it based on investing rather than just interested in sports cards. I started looking at my portfolio the way that I would look at a regular investment portfolio in terms of high risk, low risk, you got, and then some sort of middle ground. And so we wanted to approach this with like an intellectual side. You know, there's a large part of sports cards that is a feel-based thing. There's a large part of it that is fun to look at, whereas like these players are guys that we've been watching, potentially are like some of them our whole lives. But the point of what we're trying to do here is make money on sports cards. You know, we're trying to flip to fund our PC or other goals that we're trying to do. And so what we really got smart with is saying, okay, if we're really trying to do this, if we're not just saying this, then we really need to have an allocated portfolio based around a an investment strategy the way any other investments would be. So most of the bulk of our play is in investments that we think will play off in the long term. So we have most of ours in the heroes, because you can move in and out of heroes. It's a fairly liquid environment. And what I mean by that, when I say liquid, is it is fluid first. So there is a way that you can get into the hobby easily and out of the hobby easily. So potentially cards that don't have extremely low pop counts, extremely high variance or anything like that. It's a card, like for instance, this week we talked about Shohei having a 10,000 pop count PSA 10 card. You know, that is a liquid card because it is a guy that's a GOAT. That we have as a GOAT. So it's not exactly the best example, but heroes are wanting to not have any barrier of entry versus barrier of exit. So a hero is our biggest part of our portfolio. For me, I am wanting to build the GOAT side of my portfolio. Good morning, Evan. And then, so that is people like Messi, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning. I don't have any Peyton Manning cards, but I guess he would fit in there. Shohei, any sort of vintage baseball, Mickey Mantle, stuff like that. And then on the flyer side, that is our riskier investments that are one-offs. For instance, my risky play right now is I bought a National Treasures out of 25. Dennis Schroeder card this off season because I thought that he was going to do really well this season and potentially make the All-Star team, and then I was going to sell it there, or if the Raptors were going to do well in the in-season tournament. So that's kind of our portfolio breakdown. I haven't had a whole lot of card movement in the last week other than the one card that I have decided to move from heroes into for sale to move potentially back into liquid is my Tyrese Maxey rookie ticket auto variation PSA 10. So what I've done with that, the strategy that I'm doing behind this is I think this card is worth less than I have it listed for on eBay. So I listed it for a buy it now price for probably about $100 more than I would take for it. But we've talked this week about how Maxey is a buy, sell, or hold depending on how you look at him. And so what I've chosen to do is instead of auction the card like sometimes we do when people are eligible for a sale, I've decided to put a buy it now and higher than I really think somebody will pay for it. So if they would like to give me an offer that I'm comfortable with, I'm okay selling it. But at the same time, I'm okay holding this card until because I believe that Maxey's going to hit higher markers in the future. So that's kind of what I've done this week in terms of my portfolio. If that card were to sell, it would be big for me. It would be one of my bigger cards that I have in my portfolio. And so I would be able to have a lot of liquid to push back into potentially bulk grading or something like that. One thing we don't talk about quite often here, Connor, is we talk about that bulk grading system a lot, but it's $400 at minimum. So, you know, like that's not a cheap play. Like it's a cheap play per card, but you have to submit at least 20. And, you know, that gets kind of expensive.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of good stuff mentioned there, Lefty. One of the things that I liked was your reference to taking the fact that we need to be taking a technical basis to how we're watching our portfolio and how we're structuring it, right? So I think it's probably pretty easy for a lot of people in the hobby right now that have a mid-sized portfolio to just not be keeping track of what they're doing. So I think we do recommend rolling through your portfolio like Lefty did last week and a little bit of today, and giving yourself that breakdown of how much of my portfolio really is made up of flyers, right? So the goal, like Lefty's saying, is to move away from some of that high-risk stuff. And once you have a more established portfolio where the biggest allocations come from heroes and goats, then you have the space and the bandwidth to try to make plays on flyers, which you get plenty of pitches on the show from the fellas. So I think that's a good point there, Lefty. And you talked about last week trying to move out of your heroes. You said made up about 40% of your portfolio at the time, and you wanted to keep it under 20%. So one of those flyer plays that you mentioned is Dennis Schroeder. You talked about him just a second ago. If he doesn't make the All-Star team, what is your exit strategy for Schroeder?
So that's a good question. I invested in Schroeder knowing that this part of my flyer portfolio, actually any part of my flyer portfolio, I have in money that I'm not afraid to lose, if that makes sense. So it's down there to know that it's a riskier play. It's a potentially high percentage return, but it's money that also could not come back to me at the same level. So for instance, this Dennis Schroeder BGS 85 that I have here is just a cool card personally. So I mean, even if I don't move it for more than I previously had for it, I think I bought it at a pretty a good marker that I could list it back on eBay for close to that price, and I think it would still move to somebody who is a Dennis Schroeder fan or a Germany national team fan or something like that for around the same price. I'm not necessarily worried about the floor of it, but I think that the ceiling could be fun to engage with. This was kind of like this flyer play for me is simply just testing my strategy. Sometimes I buy stuff to see if my strategies work. Because it's like, this isn't really something that I would buy, but strategically this guy could potentially hit a marker that we talk about, and it's not the sexy play, but it's just something fun. And so sometimes I just test myself. And so anyway, so this is about $120, nothing huge investment, but it is a national treasure out of 25. And it's graded. So there will be some market for that either way. And so if it doesn't work out, I'll probably either hold it because I like the card, or I'll sell it for what I can get out for it if he doesn't make the All-Star team, I'll probably sell it in the playoffs, assuming that the Raptors make the playoffs, assuming that they're going to be at least in the play-in tournament. So that's probably when I'll sell it. Or there is a decent chance that if the Raptors don't end up looking like they're going to compete midseason, that he does get moved to another team like LA or something like that.
Yeah, and you got a couple more good points there, and something that kind of might slide below the radar, but you said even if those markers that you're looking for don't hit, it's still a desirable card. So something that Paul talks about a lot is buying the right player and the right card at the right time. So even though necessarily we're not going to label Dennis Schroeder as a staple to be the right player right now, you mentioned being okay if the money didn't come back, and I'll touch on that in just a second. That's the nature of flyers, right? But what you've done to mitigate risk and give yourself an exit strategy if the markers don't hit is pick up a desirable card that you know there will be a market for, right? Yeah. So I think that's a good good guideline to build your strategy for making plays on the flyers there, just because it allows yourself a little bit of comfort level knowing that, okay, I can get this thing moved even if the marker doesn't hit, because I know that this is a desirable card.
Yeah, I'll elaborate a little bit on that. So when I was making this move into Dennis Schroeder, I was thinking, okay, what do I buy? Because there are cards of his that are very cheap, and there are cards of his that I could have gone out and got a rated rookies and gone a bulk submission play or something like that. And I said, you know what? On this particular one, I'm going to go and find a card that is potentially more than I like was thinking about spending originally, because I think that the desirability of the card either way will be there. So I was talking with my friend Krim and I was like, well, what would you buy? And he goes, I would probably go look for some sort of National Treasures or Immaculate or something like that, based around even a super fan would still like this card down the road and probably still pay some sort of value for what I paid for it. And so I went and found a National Treasures card that actually was out of 25. It was graded. Also, like a part of this play was he played very well in the FIBA tournament. And this card has his Germany national team flag on it as well. Like it fits a lot of markers. And so with me making a high risk play, I tried to make it as safe as possible when I am going to get out of this card. So yeah, great point.
Yeah. Good stuff there. I didn't think about also the international market. Like, it's a flyer play, but you're adding these layers to the play to make sure that you give yourself some stability there. So I love that. Another thing that I wanted to note is that you mentioned being okay if that money doesn't come back. And obviously that's the nature of some of these flyers, right? Like, the more flyers that you have in your portfolio, the more losses you're going to take just because they're less likely to hit for you. But am I correct to assume that some of the reason you're comfortable with the flyers is because of the recent W's you've had from heroes and goats, right? Like, you had the Victor Wembanyama W's, you got your Jackson Holiday W's that are going to absolutely pop off. Like, are you investing in flyers because you have that space that you've created through margins in your other investments?
Yes, I am. I am having a higher percentage of flyers right now based on some of the other wins that I had earlier this year or earlier this month even. So there's been a lot of card money that I've been able to push back into growing my bankroll. And so when your bankroll is in a more stable place, you can kind of afford to take some risks. Now, what some people do, Connor, which I don't recommend, is when their bankroll is really slim, they go out and buy only flyers. You know, like, they're just like, can't afford a goat, can't afford a hero. I'm just going to go buy 10 cards of random Bowman Chrome autos that I've never heard of, and just hopefully one of them will pop off. That's gambling. That's not investing. And so the difference between gambling and investing, I believe, is you have a strong market play based on projections, numbers, and a goal in mind. And so you could make the point that there is action based in gambling, but I'm just making a point of saying, like, I'm not gambling my portfolio away at this point. You know, like, I'm taking a high risk card and believing that I could make a play here. But if not, I have my risk management covered with the rest of my wins that my portfolio is either has or has had in the previous 6 to 12 months. And so, I think that's why my flyers are high right now, is because I've been able to put more of my risk tolerance there. And I'm a generally high risk tolerance person with investing anyway. But yes, I'm trying to get in a more stable position.
Yeah. Good points there. You mentioned for beginners, like, the importance of creating some of that stability. So I'm going to roll through a couple of my picks this week in terms of flyers, heroes, and goats, starting off with that least stable in the flyer. And I want to get your feedback on them. Just curious where you're thinking. Let's start with Daniel Jones. He's had a very tough year that's resulted in his 2019 Optic Holo PSA 10 being down 72% over the last month. Was at $80. It's all the way down to 20. And it's a super liquid card. It's traded 14 times. Backtrack on that. This is a card actually that has pretty good upside. It's traded over $100 14 different times over the course of just 2023. So a $20 card for a starting quarterback that's had a very, very tough year. PSA 10 for just $20 with upside over $100. What are you thinking on Daniel Jones in the Giants situation?
That actually sounds like a great investment opportunity for a flyer. For me, Daniel Jones is probably still going to be the quarterback in New York. A lot of his issues have been injury and line-based problems. He doesn't necessarily have a great wideout to throw to right now. He's been able to lean on Saquon, but this year has just been they've been way worse than they were projected to be this year. They weren't projected to be good, but they were definitely not projected to be this bad. And his injuries and things have played into his prices going way down. Plus, they got beat. You know, they got 40 thumped twice by the Cowboys this year, and they've made other horrific moves as well. And so, I think Daniel Jones is somebody that I think does come back around and does start in the NFL again. And if he does start in the NFL again someday, which will be probably, you know, next year, 2019 Optic Hollow PSA 10 will not go for $20 when he's the starting quarterback when they win a football game. So I think you are going to make a play on that. If you are going to make a play on that, you're going to make a win in the next 12 months rather than six. So you're looking at a little longer to the year mark probably, or at least the preseason of next year to get that card moved away out of your portfolio, which is another thing to think about when you're thinking about some of your flyers being quicker turns. You don't want to have like the riskier part of your portfolio that you're holding for closer to 12 to any more than 12 months. But I would still be comfortable buying a Daniel Jones right now, especially because it's so dang cheap at PSA 10. You just have to be comfortable with being able to hold that win for a long time.
Yeah, and good mention on the offensive line. I also believe that's been a good portion of Daniel Jones' struggles in a testament to just how much of a beast Saquon Barkley is. They're currently ranked at 21st in the league in terms of offensive line ratings. I'm not sure that I believe that number. They just seem like they're getting bulldozed every game. So I think, for like you're saying, for $20 for PSA 10, it's just such a low-budget investment. It's already graded. He's been a starter in the league, and I would be very shocked as well if he doesn't come back and start again. And it's a solid fan base slash market to invest in, right? Like that's a fan base that has been suffering for an extended period of time. And anytime they see a glimpse of sunshine, I think they kind of have the tendency to overreact in terms of hype levels. So that we could see the same reflection in his card market. Say he comes back next year.
And Daniel Jones isn't a terrible quarterback, Connor. Like he's not. Plus, if they really dove into his dual threat a little bit more, this is my favorite Daniel Jones stat, Connor. In 2020, there was 5 times that somebody ran over 20 miles per hour on the field of play. So like they got to 20 miles per hour running. 5 of them in 2020. 3 of them were Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who else did we probably had DK and Derrick Henry and Daniel Jones in the same sentence there?
Yeah, I think it was Lamar and Tyreek Hill and then Daniel Jones. Like it was just like I just remember that stat rolling across my Twitter feed one day and I was like, holy cow. Like he actually is he can be a dual threat quarterback. But it's just like the Giants have just not. So imagine Daniel Jones being in the same situation as Lamar Jackson, like just replace them. He's got the strong arm and he's fast, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're just like, okay, well maybe he could play, you know, like maybe it's the Giants problem. You know, if you think about the coaching carousel he's had, all this kind of stuff, all the other issues in New York, maybe Daniel Jones has it and we just haven't seen it. Maybe. And I think that $20 is worth a maybe.
Yeah. I'm on the same page there. I think we got a lot of the same thoughts in regards to Daniel Jones and his future in the league. So in terms of heroes, I picked someone that I think I'm curious to see if you think is a hero or GOAT. And I'm likely going to pronounce his name wrong. I'm going to apologize. I'm just not very fluent in the soccer realm. Erling Haaland, his 2019 Fußball Bundesliga stickers base PSA 10. Is he a GOAT? This one's down 38% the last 30 days. So it was a 1,200 and plus card. You can pick up right now for just $750. Pop count's 570, so it's not super easy in terms of entry levels, but it is pretty liquid. It moves very well. Is he a GOAT? Is it a good investment? And Lefty, what really separates for us? What separates those GOATs from the heroes?
Yeah, this is a fun. You didn't totally butcher the name. It's good. Erling Haaland.
Haaland.
And so, but a lot of people say Haaland. A lot of people just even do way worse than that. So you didn't actually tear it up. But 2019 Bundesliga sticker is something that is unique. I have a 2019 Champions League card of his, and then there's also the sticker. So it's like just depends on the sticker goes for way more just because of what it is. I have a Leipzig sticker. And so I would label him in the GOAT category for a couple of reasons. But I also know that there are other people that are saying, not yet, son. And I get that. I get that he is still in progress, similar to the way that Shohei is in a GOAT category for me, but still in progress. You know, and so there are some players that I would be willing to put in GOAT status because of the stability of their career if it were to be over today. You know, like if a player were to be done today, would they still have a trading card market or a sports card market? And would that be considering in GOAT or hero? I'm not sure Haaland is there yet, but he's very close. I mean, when you're scoring 50 goals in a season, like, it's just like ridiculous. He's just doing stupid stuff, Connor. You know, and he actually had the stats to win the Ballon d'Or, which is the award for the best footballer in the world. And Messi won it again this year. And Haaland came up and said, "This is ridiculous. If it wasn't Messi, I would have won." And they said in 2020, Messi beat, I think it was Mbappe or somebody like that, because people argued, yes, you won the World Cup, but you scored the most goals of anyone in the world, all this kind of stuff. And you won your league and you won the Golden Boot and you played really well for your country and da da da. So they gave it to Messi previously. And Haaland said, so that same argument, Messi won the World Cup, but I beat him in every category and you still handed it to Messi. You know, like, right. You gave the requirement for Messi previously on these grounds, and I literally did the exact same thing and you still handed it to Messi. And so he was like, I think it's a little backwards. You just played the Messi card to the people that do the award. I agree. Messi had a fantastic year. And I agree that Messi deserves it, but I also agree that Haaland deserves that conversation. And after Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo retire, I believe it'll be the Haaland and Mbappe show and Jude Bellingham. Those will be the three going forward of our people of like, these are the three best footballers in the world. And it's worth investing in one of the three best footballers in the world. So I would put him in a hero and or a GOAT. I would be comfortable in either way, depending on your argument, whoever was to argue it. And if, you know, if he's down 30 something percent, good for you guys on buying that card. If you're buying a 1.3K potential card for $750, I think that's a good move. I literally bought a Messi card earlier this summer for $800 because it was a 1.25 potential card that it had come down from. So I think this is almost the exact same play with a guy that's easily one of the best in the world. And given one or two more seasons, like, he's established himself as one of the best goal scorers of all time.
Yeah, and like you're saying, once as Messi's heading out and those top names become the new face of soccer, I think it lends that card to have way more sell markers. And it's something that that I'm worried about in the basketball realm, right? Like, we're going to have LeBron, Steph, KD, all these guys rolling out. I'm not quite sure who our next guys are that are going to be the face. Mm-hmm. But I think that that is, you can build some strategies from that, right? You can make those investments where if it's a clear cut look thing, like it is in soccer here, you know that as the older guys head out and new guys have to become faces of the league, it just has to happen. It's part of the nature of it. Those guys are going to have more sell markers. They're going to have more eyes on them. And in turn, their card market should show a little bit higher of a valuation there. So moving into the GOAT section that I have for you today, we're going to talk Tom Brady. I'm curious what you think about this card, because as a newer investor, I wasn't overly appealed by the look of it. But Tom Brady, 2000 Skybox Impact Base in PSA 10. It's got a lot of good characteristics outside of the looks, in my opinion. It's down 15%, pop count of over 1,000, so pretty easily attainable. And it's down from 855 down to 729. My question for you here is this. When we're looking at GOATs right now, do we need to be placing an emphasis on investing in active GOATs? And I ask you this because if we invest in someone like Tom Brady right now, what is going to make his card move, and what on earth would our sell marker be for trying to exit from this card?
Yeah, Tom Brady is a tough one because very recently we saw his cards go bananas often. You know, 2-3 years ago, Tom Brady cards were moving and selling all kinds of days. And I actually just saw one of the biggest profit loss of one card specifically, like in the hobby, one of the biggest profit margin losses ever was taken on a Tom Brady BGS 10 card. It was invested at, like, somebody bought it a couple years ago for like $800K, and then I think it sold for like $250K this year.
Wow.
So, I mean, so people are taking massive losses on giant Brady cards. And so I think that trickles down here. I think the reason why people are ditching their Tom Brady cards is they know that it'll sell. They know that there is still capital, or there is still capital that wants to move into Brady cards right now. And they know that they can, it's pretty much liquidity, even though that they're seeing it as something that they're taking a loss on, they can go out and get another win with. You know, you're not stuck with a card that's nobody wants. You're not stuck with a high dollar card that you can't get out of. Tom Brady, you can always get out of, and that, because there's 1.5 million Tom Brady fans there. It's just a matter of, are you going to take a $100 loss on something where you can still have $700 of equity that you can move into something else? So I'm not willing to invest right now in Tom Brady because I think it's going to get worse still before it gets better. I think we don't have any clear markers for Tom Brady right now. He's not coming back into coaching, probably. He's not going to come back and play, probably, at this point. He is trying to make his name in business, which is remained to be seen. He's on commercials and stuff. He's trying to do the Peyton Manning. It's not necessarily working for him the way that it works for Peyton. I don't think ESPN's going to do a Brady cast. You know, like, the Manning cast is a thing that people are watching and they enjoy. And so there are markers ahead for Brady for me would be if he buys a team. So, like, if he goes into ownership, if he moves into ownership of a different sports franchise, for instance, if he buys part of like the Celtics or wherever he's living now, something like that. I was just thinking Boston. I have no idea where he lives. I think South Florida. So maybe it's like the Heat or something, but I think there will be markers for Brady, but they're not ones that I think are going to be like super markers. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, so we'll have that marker in the future, but we've also seen that, like, Peyton's cards didn't jump very much when he made the Hall of Fame. We just saw a bunch of them for sale, but not a lot of people were making incredible returns. So I do think we can invest in GOATs that are not active, but they've got to have an incredible media. They're going to have to have incredible PR teams. And I'm not sure Brady has an incredible PR team right now.
Yeah. I kind of tossed that one your way thinking that was the feedback that we get. I was just seeing that his cards were in a slight depression at the moment. I was curious to see if there would be any plays there, but yeah, I think the sell markers are just not only are they not apparent enough, but I don't think the ones that are slightly apparent are big enough to make a big enough force to make it a safe investment, especially if you're investing in a GOAT type player / card. So
yeah, I would rather invest in a guy like Kobe or a guy like, you know, Mantle or Pele, some other people that's like other GOATs of other sports, because I think they're a little more safe. Now, all three of those dudes that I just mentioned actually are deceased. So rest in peace for those three dudes. And I'm not waiting for Tom Brady to die, you know, to invest in his cards. But we have talked about how death markers are huge in the card market, which ethically you're going to have to figure out whether you want to profit off of somebody's death or not. You know, that's something that we've talked about a lot on this show. Like, sometimes investing has ethical markers. You know, Chad and I and Paul all have different ethical plays on some of that stuff. So, I mean, just the fact of cracking slabs and not being transparent with it is an ethical issue sometimes. So there's sometimes in this hobby, people look different ways based on their ethical preference. So death of a sports card profit is definitely another one that you've got to look at.
Yep. Good point there. Let's go ahead and roll into what you're doing right now. So we've talked about Yamamoto coming over. You've talked about it a lot lately as a potential profitable play. So let's break down your Yamamoto strategy. And if you don't mind, real quick, before you hop into it, where do you have him sitting between Flyer and Hero? How risky is this play for you?
Yeah, so this is, we're going to, like, we want to be able to break down a potential play, like, from the numbers perspective of what I'm doing, maybe spend a little bit longer than we can on Monday's show to really evaluate some of these plays. And so we're going to bring up one every week that I'm working on, and one that we talked about a lot on Monday's show or have referenced in the past that I haven't necessarily broken down is this Yamamoto play. So Yamamoto is coming over from Japan. He is the best pitcher to ever come over from Japan. There is a link that I'm going to drop in the chat here that also, like, Connor, whenever you're using, whenever you are writing it up or whatever, if you guys want to go to that tweet and look at the breakdown that Aram gives on Yamamoto, he goes incredibly in depth of why he is elite and why he will probably get the second biggest bag this offseason in regards to a free agent this offseason in baseball realm. Not only have we seen other Japanese pitchers come over and get bags when they come into Major League Baseball, but this guy is doing things that are unprecedented, and he's coming over at a younger age. And so he is, we've talked a lot about Roki Sasaki. We've talked a lot about Shohei Ohtani. Actually, I have a section in this show later that is totally dedicated to Shohei. I think Shohei and Yamamoto are two of the biggest free agents coming out in this offseason for Major League Baseball, when it's going to be buying season. And there's going to be clear selling markers for Yamamoto, because not only is he going to come over and potentially, as soon as he comes over, he also will be able to compete for Rookie of the Year. I think that's also important, because that's something that's really unique about these international free agency signings, is they can come over and they're going to get a bag like they are a steady major leaguer. You know, he's probably going to get $400-500 million contracts, similar to Bryce Harper or something like that, you know, but Bryce Harper had to prove it in the MLB first. Well, so this guy's been proving it in MPB, which is the second best league in the world in Japan. And he's doing things that you don't have that do translate immediately to Major League Baseball. You can say, oh, you know, there's not as good of hitters in Japan and all that kind of stuff. Well, what Aram does break down in that video that I just shared is the stuff that's impressive about him is not, you know, you can look at his ERA and it's very good. You can look at his win record and it's very good. You can look at his strikeouts and it's very good. But things you also need to look at are like the way he throws his fastball is not, he doesn't throw it in a dead zone, and it's actually an elite pitch in that area. He has an elite splitter. He has an elite ghost pitch, like what we've seen some other Japanese pitchers come out of. And he also pitched really well on the international stage. So it's just like we've seen him do some incredible things, and he's coming over with markers that we already know are going to be elite when you plug and play him. So this guy will be, he will compete for Rookie of the Year. He will probably be on a contender, so he could potentially compete for other markers as well. There's plenty of markers that we have for a sell for him. Also, the sell or the him signing with a franchise is also a sell marker. So all this to play into, I believe that is a 3 to 4 month for your first sell marker with him, and then a 6 to 12 months on most of the other sell markers based on all-star games, based on him, how his franchise does, some things like that. He will probably be in the running for Cy Young, potentially in Rookie of the Year. There's potential for him to win any of the awards that he is potentially eligible for. And he's eligible for Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, MVP, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is kind of crazy that you can just plug an all-star in and make him a rookie right away. So I think this is he will have a six-figure market in free agency, which is always going to be affect the card market. ESPN is going to talk about him all year long. You know, they're just going to pump Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani feed all year long, especially if there is rumors that they will end up on the same team, Connor. And if they end up on the same team, ESPN and Major League Baseball will be literally marketing that like it's the hottest thing since sliced bread. Plus, you're having an international market here and all those things. So the reason why I've chosen this specific card, which I will go ahead and remind us, it is an NPB 2021 Chrome. 2021 Chrome, no autos. It is just basically his rookie card, and it is an MPB 2021 Yamamoto. Here, I'm trying to. Here it is, right? So this card right here. There it is. It's him pitching. He is a pitcher. We do obviously know that he's a pitcher. We also know that the marker is too impossible to not invest in. So that's another thing people have asked me. Well, he's a pitcher. You guys don't normally invest in pitchers. We don't normally invest in pitchers because we don't normally have markers to hit that are obvious. Yamamoto will have obvious markers to hit in the major leagues. And this Topps Chrome 2021, he plays for the Buffaloes. So you can go look for that. It's card number 90. So MPB and he is card number 90, Buffalo's Topps Chrome. Go find it. It's between $50 and $75 right now. If you can get it for cheaper than that, that's an absolute steal, and people don't know what they have if they are selling it to you for that. So.
Boom. Good breakdown there, Lefty. So he's given you the timeline, guy. He's told you why he's buying it. He's given you the sell markers that are out there for you. Lefty, real quick, one other thing I wanted you to expand on is I think you've been discussing getting them graded before it comes back. Is that something you'd be looking to do with all prints that you're picking up for Yamamoto? Why the grade, and are you sending them to PSA? What's the move there?
That's what I'm doing. I am sending them to PSA because I know that the pop count on this card is really low for what they've done at PSA. Not everybody can find MPB cards. For instance, I was able to only find packs of it at Walgreens. You know, so there's not like a super accessible way to find this card. And so when you do find it, the pop count is lower than normal cards. And so I am sending it to PSA. Because I'm okay with the 3 to 4 month flip time, even though he could sign between now and then. I believe that my potential selling time period is going to be in March. That's when I'm going to try to get out of Yamamoto cards. And so I am comfortable sending them to PSA. I have a paper base because I pulled a paper base, and then I have a chrome, and then I'm sending both of them to PSA. And if I would love to have 20 of these to submit a bulk play on him, because I think these will go for good money and good return. I'm not even actually going to put the potential return marker on it because I think it could be, it could be nuts, honestly. And so I know I will at least get a double return on this card when I send it to PSA.
I love it. I love it. Awesome breakdown there, Lefty, of your path to profit. Let's go ahead and hop on over into our next segment, which is known as Invest or Fade. So I'm going to pitch a couple things for you, and you got to pick one for me. It's similar to the gauntlet from previous shows. So let's kick it off. We're going to kick it off with Paul's golden child, Aaron Radjis. His 2005 Topps Base PSA 10. And my two that I picked here, they correlate. So let's start with Aaron Rodgers. He's down 8% the last 30 days. In PSA 10 for 2005 Topps Base. The last sale was $229. So you can pick up a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback's PSA 10 rookie card for less than $250. It's a super liquid card. It's traded 22 times over the last 30 days. We've got whispers of Aaron Rodgers making an early return. Whether there's any validity to that or not, I guess we're going to find out. The Jets are half a game back of the Buffalo Bills right now without Aaron Rodgers and a struggling Zach Wilson. I mean, we got a lot of good things to look at there in terms of if he comes back and the Jets can somehow sneak into the playoffs, maybe a lot of profits. We're putting that one against another returning from injury shortly player, Justin Jefferson. His 2020 Optic Holo PSA 10 is down 7% the last 30. So last sale was just under $150. Another liquid card traded 11 times the last 30 days. He's coming back this week, we're assuming, and my fantasy team is hoping. And he comes back with Josh Dobbs, who right now is kind of another golden child in their franchise. So the Vikings are alive for the playoffs at the moment. We got two players returning from injury in the near future. Trying to make that playoff push. Who are you rolling with, Jettas versus Aaron Rodgers?
Ah, man. I think both of these guys are good investments right now. I think both of them have projectable markers. Both of them have the right card that you can look into. They're both graded. There's a lot of markers here that are fine. My worry with Justin Jefferson is he doesn't have an elite quarterback. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and make an emotional statement that Dobbs is as close to an elite quarterback as he's had in a while. Everyone knows I'm a Josh Dobbs fan. So, yes, I'm including good old Kirky in there. So I think Dobbs and Jefferson will mesh well together. I'm not worried about that. But I'm going to go pick a GOAT. I'm going to go get a GOAT card right here and put it in the hands of Aaron Rodgers. I do believe that Aaron Rodgers will be back this season. I think he will. I don't know whether he's going to come back healthy, Connor, but I do think he makes a return because I think he's too ignorant to not make a return. I think he's just like, I'm going to do this and no one can stop me. And everyone in that whole building is like, well, I mean, all right. You know, like, well, I guess we pretty much gave him part of our franchise when we signed him. So I guess he can go out and do whatever he wants. You know, like at this point, Aaron Rodgers is kind of like the grandpa that you just kind of let say just wild things. And you just say like, well, yeah, I mean, he's old enough. He's kind of earned it. You know what I'm saying? Like everyone has that grandpa that just says like stuff that is outrageous, but no one really gets mad at him because it's like, well, it's just grandpa. Yeah, I think that's kind of Aaron Rodgers in the NFL right now. Like everyone, if he was 25, people would be like, this dude is stupid. And then, but because he's kind of earned it, people just let him do it. Plus, I think he does return. I do think the Jets make the playoffs. This Bills team is struggling, Connor. They're half a game behind a struggling Bills. Josh Allen apparently can't throw it to his own team. Maybe he's colorblind. Because he has no idea who the Bills are and where he's throwing the ball. He's a gunslinger slash maybe he just can't read defenses right now. I don't know what's going on. And so I actually believe that this Jets team will sneak into the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers will be there on Wild Card Sunday, potentially. And Aaron Rodgers is my pick.
I love the hot take. Yeah, I think Rodgers is just a safer pick here, right? You can invest in a Hall of Fame quarterback that's discounted and easily attainable and moves easily and might return for the playoffs, or you can invest in a skill position guy that doesn't have a proven, as much as I like Josh Dobbs, go Vols, that doesn't have a proven track record necessarily. And I believe in the Jets a lot more than I believe in the Vikings for this year. Sorry to hurt your feelings there, Paul.
Dude, if the Vikings, I'm going to make a totally wild statement here.
Let's get it.
If the Vikings end up in the Super Bowl and Josh Dobbs is the quarterback, I will shave every hair on my head in solidarity.
We're going to hold you to that. For those of you don't know, we've got a bet going around right now that involves Chad Gill potentially being in a pink tutu. And now we've got one for Lefty McKee shaving every hair on his head. So stay tuned. These guys might not think I'm holding them to it, but I'm absolutely holding them to it. I've got it written in the ledger somewhere. So we'll hold them accountable if these things do happen.
I just love Josh Dobbs, man. I think he's so cool.
I do too. He's a hard worker. He's incredibly smart. Those two intangibles are big for me when looking at guys trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Moving on to our second investor fade. We've got two big-time risers in the basketball world. Two guys that we have been pitching as risers for the last several months. First, Anthony Edwards. He's been a dog this year. We saw it on the USA team. We saw it look like he was kind of making the next jump, and I think it's been confirmed so far throughout the year. His 2020 Prism base in PSA 10 is down 17% the last 30 days. Last sale, just $100. 70 trades over the last 30 days, so super liquid. We're putting that up against Tyrese Maxey, who we've been talking about a lot lately because he's been hooping as well. His select courtside PSA 10. The reason I chose the select is because I know that you don't like selects. I think you would be picking Maxey here if it was the same card. So I picked a card that you might not like as much to make it more difficult on you. His select courtside PSA 10 is down 33% the last 30 days. Last sale, $34 for a Tyrese Maxey PSA 10. It's not a very liquid card, though. It's only traded twice over the last 30 days. But man, Maxey looks really good. He looks like he could be one of those guys that we were talking about earlier, establishes himself as one of the next faces of the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, he definitely, both of these guys are creating a niche for themselves, and they are both arguing for the fact that the NBA will be fine when LeBron retires. You know, they are both arguing for the fact that they could be a face. You know, I think there's like probably 10 dudes that are in this area of like, we're next, you know, and they have the gumption to say like, we want to be next. And now I don't think either of these guys are as good as LeBron. I'll just put it there. I think they're both great, but I don't think they'll be that level of superstar. But I am. This is how much I hate select. I think it's such an easy win for me to pick the 2020 base Anthony Edwards, not only because it trades so commonly, but I think it's incredibly undervalued at $100. I was looking at I'm going to talk about Anthony Edwards later in the show as well, so I'll leave it for that. But I'm willing to say that Anthony Edwards is one of the most underrated buys right now in the NBA. If you are going to buy an NBA player right now, he would be the one I would buy.
I like it. Yeah. he is someone to me that has not only the skill, but he's got the physical makeup to be one of the next guys in the league. Tyrese Maxey isn't quite as imposing physically. Anthony Edwards looks like he has a 75-inch vertical. He's built like Dwayne Wade. Realistically, he's 6'4", super athletic, super bouncy. So yeah, I'm big on the Ant-Man train right now. He might be one of my favorite young guys in the league. So I like the pick there. I think it's a more stable asset to invest in from two guys that I would put in the hero category. Number three, we're throwing a baseball pitch at you, Lefty. And the reason that I'm about to put these two together is we've had a lot of people either on the Overflow show or the Monday show talk about which of the baseball prospects you should invest in, because they all have the same sell marker for us, right? It's just a matter of who we think has the most upside, what their entry level is to their cards. And often it looks like you, Lefty, or you, Paul, and Chad are all picking Jackson Holliday pretty much over everyone else. So I'm trying to figure out just how high we are on Jackson Holliday. So here's what we're throwing at you. You can get one Jackson Holliday 2022 Bowman Draft Chrome First Prospect Auto Refractor out of $499, PSA 10, almost a $3,000 card, 2.65K was the most recent sale. So top of the top for Jackson Holliday there, versus you can pick up four of James Wood's 2022 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto Refractor out of $499 and PSA 10. The last sale of these was going for around $800. So four of them, in terms of value, you're looking at $3,200 versus roughly $2,700 in value for the Jackson Holliday. Do those James Woods for you, is it a better investment than picking up one of those Jackson Holidays? What are you thinking?
This is tough. And it's tough to base on the money. Like if you just look at the money, I'm like, wow, I could get $3,200 worth of value, or I could have $2,600 worth of value.
But upside.
Yeah. And both of them have incredible upside. I just think one of them is so safe, Connor. Mm-hmm. Like one of these is 100% going to be over 3K in 6 months. One of these is 95% over 3K in 6 months. You know, like, I mean, obviously I know it's already over 3K, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
I'm picking Jackson just because I think it's just so safe, Connor.
Yeah, I think it's a good answer. I mean, for those of you listening that are making the baseball plays, that's how much we as a team over here believe in Jackson Holliday. I mean, you can look at advanced metrics. You can look at his card prices. You can look at where he sits in the rankings, our rankings, MLB's rankings. There's a lot of indicators there, right? And if you're struggling to make these picks, I mean, Lefty just gave up $500 of value because he believes that much in Jackson Holliday. So, yeah.
I wonder what Paul would do there, honestly, because he's the guy that's always about the green, right? He's like, I don't care, just give me green, you know. And in this case, the only case for one than the other that defines it really is the extra cash,
right?
He might pick James Wood there.
He might. We might have to get a guest feature video from him next week to get his feedback on it. But yeah. I like the pick there. You only need to pick up one card. It's a super valuable card, an awesome card to hold. He's just a lock. So that's going to wrap up our invest/fade section. I might bring another Jackson Holliday one to you next week to keep testing how valuable we think he is. Just figure out what that bubble is. But we're going to roll into what is one of my favorite segments, the 1K budget builder. For those of you that are listening or watching that weren't able to hop into last week's show, in this segment, what we're going to do is me and Lefty both have three picks. One is a small tier investment. One's mid tier, one's high tier that has to equal $1,000. We're tracking our plays over the next 6 months. Lefty, I want to include something for you. We gave ourselves a six to 12 month window, actually. I want you to make sure.
Did you penalize yourself this week?
I did. I'm a little bit under $1,000 this week, but I want you to remember that you can get out of these cards at any time. So I have a document to share with you of our picks. So if these cards go up, you don't have to hold them until the 6 month. You just got to let me know you want to get out so I can make a note of your profits.
Okay. Deal? All right.
Okay. With that being said, let's.
Remember what I picked week one already.
I've got them for you. Don't worry. I'm the bookkeeper. Let's go ahead and get your picks for the 1K budget builder.
Yeah, this is so fun for me because I just picked it was instead of Shohei. So this is called a Shohei day for me. I am literally just investing in different areas of Shohei for my portfolio here. So I am only investing in Shohei for all of my picks in this round, and I am going to take a low end on 2018 Bowman 49 base cards. It is a paper raw. I'm going to buy 10 of those, and that average 30-day sale is $17. It's a rookie of Shohei. They will eventually be like a GOAT card. there are other, it's not the one that you want. Like, it's not the super obtainable parallels because it's a paper, it's Bowman, it, you know, there's a, it's, it hits him pitching. There's a lot of things to think about here, but I think that Shohei will eventually have the Tom Brady slash Michael Jordan slash whatever LeBron effect, where any of his rookies will be obtainable. Any of his rookies, no matter what, will be worth investing in. And so these, I'm going to go ahead and take 10 of them. I'm going to bulk submission play them. But I'm going to just, we'll just keep the value at $17. I'll take 10 of those. I expect them to be around $25 or $30 in the next six, inside the next 6 months. For my mid tier, I actually have two cards here, because I wanted to a little bit of diversify it. I did a 2018 Topps Chrome update, which is a, it's one of the very commonly traded PSA 10 cards, but it's not rare at all. So it's going at $112 average 30-day sale right now. It's his rookie debut. We have a pop count of almost 6,000. So it is a card that's liquid. And we talked about the liquidity stuff earlier in our show. It's him, but this is him hitting. So we have his rookie debut card. It's a Topps Chrome update. So it's in, it's not in, it's in a retail pack. And it's coming out at around 6,000 pop count for a PSA 10 average, 112. So I'm going to combine that with a card that I think is super fun to invest in. Maybe not the one that has the most top end, but I'm also going to put in my mid tier, a 2023 Topps Now card of him, in the WBC 71 is the card number. And that's the card of him striking out Mike Trout to win the WBC, baseball classic. It was literally one of the best at bats I've ever watched in my entire life. And Shohei striking out Mike Trout was incredible. The print run is amazing. It's, and what I mean by that is it's super high. There's 42,000 of these. But the pop 10 or the PSA 10 pop count is 3,067. Average last 30-day sale is around $80. I just want to invest in that because I believe it, this card will go up to about $100, $150 when the Shohei season starts. And my high end, you don't have to get cute with it. This is a $525 average 30-day sale. I believe this card will go for between $700 and $800 in a couple of months. Pop count 3,583. I will be taking one of the 2018 Bowman Chrome number one base card PSA 10, but it is him hitting. I think a Shohei cards are always investable, but we are always going to, I am always going to take the hitting portion of Shohei when I can. And so I'm going to take the hitting 2018 Bowman Chrome number one base PSA 10 pop count 3583 at a average 30-day sale of $525. And that puts me about $100 higher than $1,000. So I'm just going to bet on myself as being a savvy business maker and knowing that in these hypothetical situations, I would be able to talk the person down.
I like it. Yeah. It's Shohei day for Lefty McKee. I like all these plays. And to be fair, you're given a little leeway with how much I spent last week. So I'm going to go ahead and hop into mine. And I would like to note that last week I had Tyrese Maxey. So I'm winning this game at the moment. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Did you already sell?
I did on the document. So I guess we should specify within the show too. I'm selling Maxey for sure. And okay, potentially looking to buy back during a dip. For this week, my low end, I'm picking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, his 2018 Prizm Base PSA 10, your pick on Monday's show. I thought it was a phenomenal pick. He's a hero guy, down 44%, pop count 4,000, super easily attainable. So we're talking about a $115 card that I think was already undervalued. You can pick up for $60. SGA is one of the future faces of the league, like we've been talking about. The Thunder are one of the future teams of the league. I'm going to say it right now. Too much young talent. I like where their coaching's at. I like the style that they play with Giddy and Chet. I got a lot of faith in the Thunder over the next few
years.
They
straight up dominated the Spurs last night.
I like them, man. I like them a lot. Mid-tier.
Connor, he did not even play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he didn't need to, dude.
They were up by like 40 or something like that.
I saw an interview where Chet was pretending to be one of the interviewers, and he said, SJ, how does it feel knowing that just no one can guard you? And SJ just said no comment. And it's a fact. He scores at all three levels. He's efficient. He's still a team guy. He plays decent enough defense for me. So
he's my favorite NBA player. So I'm in on that play.
Big on SGA. Mid-tier, we're going LeBron James. A very strange card, but I picked it for the sell markers. LeBron James, 2003 Bazooka Comics PSA 10. We're talking about a GOAT card market slash player for $159, down 10% the last 30 days. It's sold above 300 times, over five times this year already. And we've talked about the sell markers for LeBron. There's a ton of good sell markers between record-breaking, retirement, farewell tour, final All-Star game, playing with Bronny, buying a team. I mean, we got a lot of sell markers there for LeBron, so I need to keep an eye on those card prices for this specific card, even though it's a bit of a strange one for me. I think that's a good pick for my mid-tier. High-end, Jalen Hurts, 2020 Prism Green Color Match PSA 10. I got Jalen Hurts in the hero category, but I think that he'll be moving into the GOAT category within the next 2 to 5-ish years. Down 21.8%. So a $550 card you can pick up right now for just about $400. My sell marker for this card is either the playoffs, if I see the spike, and if not, I'm holding that thing until the Super Bowl, because the Eagles will be making the Super Bowl this year. They have the best offensive line, I think, in the league. They got the best team in the league. They got the best skill position guys in the league. Jalen Hurts is a beast. I mean, I'm big on the Eagles right now. Color match, pop count 287, so it's a little bit tough to get. But in this hypothetical scenario, I get them. It sold twice above $700 since February, and I can pick it up right now for $430 before the Eagles have done anything. So that's my high-end pick there. What we'll do moving forward is
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Is this the card that you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes. I've never seen this card.
Dude, I've never seen it either, but it sells above $300 for some reason several times throughout the year, and you can pick it up for $159. It's a PSA 10 LeBron card. It's a strange pick, right, but I think it's a good investment.
Hey, all you had to say was the numbers. Because I thought it was a different card, because there's an actual like comic version of him standing next to a LeBron version of him. Like, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that's the exact print. Mark Miller has very little images. I'm looking at numbers. I'm not overly interested in the photos, but
I thought you were talking about this card, and this is not the same card.
Not the same card. It's the first one,
and I was just like, "That's so funny, Connor." All right,
that's my pick. I don't love the card. Obviously, I love the fact that it has good upside.
I'm in.
Anytime you can get a PSA 10. Crazy that those cards could even grade in PSA 10. Yeah, anytime you can get that for someone like LeBron James, I think it's a good play there. So what we'll do moving forward is we'll give you guys weekly updates on our growth, who we're selling, why we're selling, and then obviously our weekly pickups there. I think you might have got me beat this week, Lefty, because I'm so big on Shohei right now. We've talked about the sell markers for Shohei. I think we all believe in Shohei. I'm excited for him to return back from injury and return back to pitching in 2025, and excited to see where he goes this offseason. Big Shohei guy. He's super humble. He's just a hard guy not to like. With that being said, I'm going to transition into my winner of the week and pat myself on the back a little bit. Last week I had Kyle Kuzma. I think the line was either 21.5 or 22.5. 22.5, or I think it was over 21.5. He needed 22 points or more, I believe.
Yeah,
could be wrong. Either 21 or 22. Against the Charlotte Hornets, Kuzma exploded. He had 33 points on 13 of 24 shooting, 9 boards and 4 assists. So I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit there. But I do want to make a note, like, this is not investment advice. I'm just picking up. This is my analysis and the plays that I'm making personally. And if you decide to tail, feel free to do so.
I tailed, and it was awesome.
I love it. My play for this week. It's a bit of a controversial one. So the Wolves spread against the Suns tonight is +5. So that means that they are expected to lose by 5 points. So I'm taking the line of their spread, which means that I think they will either lose by less than 5 points or win. And here's why. Devin Booker is supposed to come back tonight, which means this is the first game for the big three of Phoenix at full strength. I have a tough time believing that they're going to have a lot of strong chemistry in game one. The Suns are 1-4 at home right now. The Timberwolves have the best defensive rating in the league, apparently. I wasn't expecting that. I started doing my research. Their defensive rating is 102. It's the best in the entire league. They're on a 6-game win streak. Ant-Man looks great. Cat looks great. I mean, there's a lot of factors there. So I'm rolling with the Wolves spread of +5. It's basically even odds there. So that means if you invest 10 bucks, you get 10 bucks on top of your 10 bucks back. So that's my winner. +6, even more space there, my friends. So I picked this one last night, even more space to go there. That's my pick for the winner of the weekend. We will see how that plays out tonight. But Lefty, what you got for a correlating sports card play here?
My correlation is a guy we've talked about earlier. Anthony Edwards is if I were put in a jail cell and you said you are not getting out until you buy a basketball card right now on Connor's win of the week, then this is what I would buy. I would buy a 2020 Donruss Orange Laser a PSA 10 Anthony Edwards. It's $100. It's down 11.5%. But overall, what's interesting, in the last 60 days, his card market price change is actually down 4.3%, but his volume is up 12%. So I don't know what that actually says. I'm not super, super savvy with economics, but I think that's a healthy market. So I think we could buy this Orange Laser. That's a very appealing looking card as well, and make good money on it in the future when he makes the All-Star team / when he takes the Wolves to the playoffs / when he crushes a +6 line on a 4-6 Phoenix Suns team, as he has an 8-2 Timberwolves team.
Yeah. 1-5 at home for Phoenix right now.
Good grief.
1-4. I'm sorry. 1-4. It's brutal. It's brutal. There's just no way those guys are meshing super well night one. I think that KD, two of the three, would have to get very hot to win this game, in my opinion, especially when we're talking, I can't believe the Wolves are the best defensive team in the league, but they are. And that just is what it is. We're going to have to accept it. So that's my pick of the week. I like the correlation there, Lefty. I love Anthony Edwards. I think that's going to do it for us today, man. You got any closing thoughts for the show?
I love doing it. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here and watching, Evan, Chad, Shane, Adrian, Randy. Thanks for all popping in. We love you guys. We love the Sports Card Strategy Show community. Continue to give us feedback on this. We want to do deep dives regularly where we're talking about not just surface level stuff, but we're really diving into numbers and specific cards and specific plays. So this is a fun show for me and Connor to be able to just kind of geek out a little bit in sports cards, and hope you liked it. Cue that rock music, Connor.
We'll cue it. Take us away, Paul. Take us away, sir.
Great job on today's show, Lefty and Connor. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Don't forget to get your free 30-day trial today at nooffseason.com to help you build your sports card investment portfolio and take lessons at Sports Card School. Go to sportscardschool.com. Text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727 to get your buy alerts and your sell alerts. Text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. That's 1-833-992-5727. Text sports cards there to get your buy alerts and sell alerts to crystallize your profits. We would love it if you give us a positive review on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey and connect with us on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. Thanks for being part of the nooffseason.com family. Have a great day.